People don't come to church. Say, when I go to church, I just feel, and they hide because they're hiding from the only one that can help them. Where are you, Adam? We had an appointment, and he was hiding behind the trees of the garden that God had created. And it seemed that rather than Adam seeking God, God was seeking Adam. And it seemed to set a precedence for a while. Rather than man seeking God, God was seeking man. And God was asking, where are you? The Almighty, the all-knowing God. I preached a sermon not long ago, God is a man and a man is God. And God could act like a man and say, Adam, where are you? As if he didn't know. So that he goes to Cain and says, where is Abel, thy brother? As if he didn't know. He stands at the tent door with Abraham and says, where is Sarah, thy wife? As if he didn't know she was in the tent. I'm here to tell you, God knows where you're at, but he's asking you the question, where are you this morning in your walk? Where are you in your life? Where are you in your relationship with him? Hallelujah. And it seemed like from that time on, after speaking to Abraham, he's face to face. You don't see much where God was talking, maybe not at all, anymore, face to face with men. It was just a voice, an impression, a spirit. The word of the Lord came to me and said, it was not this face-to-face encounter anymore. And many times people wonder if I've heard from God. I mean, I don't know if that was God or not. Can I give you a little help to determine whether you've heard from God or not? You see, sometimes you think we have to be real spiritual to hear from God. That's not so. He talks to sinners. The way you're going to know if God is talking to you, every time God speaks, it requires faith and works. When God speaks something, he doesn't tell you something you already know. He speaks faith. Gideon, you shall smite the Midianites as one man. Lord, are you talking to me? It takes faith and it takes works. Faith without works is dead of being alone. So you know it's God when he challenges your faith. For the just shall walk by faith. So if you want to know if God's speaking to you, sometimes people in the congregation, they feel drawn to the altar and say, well, I don't know if I should, I don't know if that's God or not. This is what God does. He draws. He said, I will draw all men unto me. And it requires faith. It requires turning loose of your own carnal ways and thinking to be drawn unto God. But in this Old Testament, I got a little ways to go, so bear with me. In this Old Testament, they're always wondering, where is God? Elijah said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Elisha picks up the mantle of Elijah. He said, where is the God, Lord God of Elisha? And throughout this Old Testament, it's where is God? And then you get to the birth of Jesus Christ, where God is in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And even Herod said, where's he at? They're still looking for him. Remember, the New Testament does not start until the new church starts. The day of Pentecost was the beginning of the New Testament. Penta means 50, and Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover. And so the beginning of the New Testament begins, oh Lord, on the day of Pentecost when you begin to know where God is at. Yeah. And all the time in the Old Testament, where's God at? I don't know if this is God. But when the New Testament comes, it's a different day. It's a different way. And he begins to live in you and with you and for you and beside you. And he's everything you do, the steps of a good man begin to be ordered of the Lord. And you don't have to wonder because he's in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. When they took Jesus, they couldn't find him. They go to Gideon, they couldn't find him. It was interesting, when they weren't looking for him, they could find him. But when they were looking for him, they couldn't find him. So finally, they're getting ready to crucify him, and they have to go to Judas and say, "Where is he?" And Judas brings this mob to Jesus that they might crucify him. The Spirit of the Lord throughout the Old Testament would light on a man and it would leave, and it would light on a man. Many times people say because they got goosebumps or whatever, that's the Lord and I've got, no. It's got to stay. And I'm not saying you got goosebumps, you're dismissed, the choir. I'm not saying you have to have goosebumps 24 hours a day, but what I'm saying is the Spirit of the Lord should remain. Even concerning John the Baptist said, y'all leave me somebody to teach to in here. Even John the Baptist, there we go in the back. Even though John the Baptist was anointed to preach, the forerunner of Christ, he is saying, he's out there coming out of the wilderness place. He's a guy dressed in a camel suit and badger skin or whatever he had on and eating locusts and honey, man. He's nuts. And he's saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I'm not worthy to latch his shoes. There's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What is that? Who is he? He was saying things he didn't know. And so he wondered, how will I know the Christ when I see him? Little did he know he was his first cousin and didn't know him. John the Baptist's first cousin. It's amazing how you can be so close to someone and not know them. And one day, while baptizing in the River Jordan, he looks up and he sees a man coming. And it dawned on him, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when Jesus was baptized of John, he came up out of the water. And the sign that the Lord told John that would be to know that this was the Christ, he said, the one you see the Spirit descend upon, and it remains the same as he. And when John baptized Jesus, the Bible said the heavens opened and the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove and it remained on him. I'm here to tell you, that's great if you get a little experience about living for God and you had a little happy time, that's good. But it's got to remain. Your joy's got to remain. Your peace has got to remain. Your hope's got to remain. The Spirit of God has got to remain in you to be his. Not long before Jesus would go to the cross, he sits and he talks to his disciples to comfort them. And we read these scriptures. I'll read them again quickly. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. I will be back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm there already. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas began to wonder and say, Lord, how do we know the way? How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And you say you don't know me. And Philip piped up and said, well, Lord, you keep talking about the Father. Shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. They didn't know. He looked at Philip and said, how long have I been with you? And you still say, show me the Father? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am he in flesh. Wow, startled them. And then Jesus goes on to say, now watch this. This is going to get good right here. John 14:16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. It will remain on you. Jesus was taking a few fleeting moments before he goes to the cross to ta-ta them a little bit and say, it's going to be all right. Let not your heart be troubled. He was giving them comfort. He said, but I've got to go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm coming back and I will send you another ta-tar. I'll send you another one that says, it's going to be okay. It's all right. Don't matter what they said about you. As long as you stay with me, I'll bring you through everything life can dish out because I've been through it all. At this moment, Jesus is trying to comfort them, but he's saying, I got to go to heaven. You don't know where you're at, but I know where I'm at. And when I send back the Holy Ghost, you'll know where you're at too. You won't stay lost, wondering where you're at, wondering if you're saved, wondering if you're going to make it, wondering if life's going to get better or not get better. You'll know it is because I'll give you my Spirit. Now watch. In verse 17, this comforter, he said, even the Spirit of truth. Did not Jesus said, I am the truth? I will give you the Spirit of truth. That Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truths. So right here, now watch. Right here we understand that this comforter is something that you receive in this life. I go away, but I come unto you. I come back to you. And he said, in a little while. He is not talking about the rapture of the church here. He's talking about going and being glorified after the crucifixion and returning back and telling them to wait for the Holy Ghost, which you've heard of me, that shall come not many days from hence. He said, I'm going to make a quick trip and send you back this Spirit of truth. So the comforter is something you receive in you. Now this word mansion. Many people have gotten confused. In my Father's house are many mansions. There are many people that are already members of the Father's house. There's many that's gone on before us. And the truth is that a mansion, the Bible says, the Brother Webster says, get out Webster's dictionary. This is what he says a mansion is. It means the chief residence of a lord. The abode, the dwelling place of the Lord. In my Father's house are many mansions. Where does he dwell? Right here. Who's the mansion? Right here. This is the chief dwelling place of God on earth. Right here. If you don't have him here, you don't have him. He dwells in the tabernacle of men. So in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there, I'm already there. See, that's what y'all don't realize. You're already there. This is a taste, he said, of the power and of the worlds to come. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's just a taste, but I'm already there. That's why he said when you die, you don't die because you keep living, because you're already there. See, now that's shouting material. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth is this comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that lives in his mansion. He lives in you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Lord? And that's why he says, don't defile the body, because him that defileth the body, I will also defile them on that day when I come back. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's come to this mansion. I know you look at your body and you look at you say, I don't look like a mansion. It's not the outward thing he's looking at. It's the inward thing. He dwells in the hearts of men. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, when you receive this comforter, ye shall know that I am in my Father and my Father in me and I in you. I got to close. Heaven has already come to earth. Heaven is already here. Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The only way that's going to happen is when you have the Spirit of truth in you. Without the Spirit of truth, you will never have the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. I'm already there. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being there. Hallelujah. I remember the day I got there. Do you remember the day you arrived? Do you remember the day that the Lord moved in? You say, I'm there. I'm there. Oh, I'm there. I'm there. And he just lives in this mansion. And I carry him. I preached a sermon one time called The Governor's Mansion. He's the governor. The governor is the guide. And he just guides me around and talk to this one and talk to that one and just be a witness to everybody you see. I am his mansion. Do you understand that this morning? And he lives in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. He's coming back to collect all of his mansions. Be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Take your quick break. We'll come back for morning worship.